You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent report detailing complaints to the Health and Disability Commissioner about disability support services revealed that the sector suffered from inadequate care standards, poor management of resources, and the abuse of those in care. One of the suggestions made in the report was that better funding and staffing was needed to improve standards in disability care, based on complaints from workers in the sector saying that understaffing was impacting their ability to provide adequate care. I spoke to Peter Reynolds, CEO of the New Zealand Disability Support Network, to discuss staffing shortages in disability care and the solutions needed to address it. How bad are staffing shortages in disability care at the moment?
They are critical in some areas around the country. In other areas, over the past 6 months, we've seen some small improvement in the availability of labour, but it continues to be a national issue for our members. So they struggle to find care and support workers willing to work for government-set wage levels that begin at the minimum wage.
What's causing these shortages?
That's difficult to say. Part of it is economic. So we've been through a period when there's been supposedly record unemployment. So that has meant that the number of people looking for jobs is quite small. The expectation among those people to be paid a reasonable wage for the work that they're doing creates a barrier for the disability support sector because, as I mentioned, the wage rates are established by government and the funding that they provide to those providers in our sector, and that begins at the minimum wage. So to be critical about it, you can sit at home with the minimum wage coming in through benefit entitlements, or you can come out and work in what can be quite a challenging environment in disability support. Since 2017, the government was meant to ensure that those wage rates kept pace with the 2017 pay equity settlement. That didn't happen, which means that the sector has fallen behind. So wage rates is an important feature. The attractiveness of other roles where the pay rates are quite a bit better is what we compete against, particularly in hospital services. So all of that rolled together means we have a labour shortage at the moment, and it's going to get worse because we're seeing wage rates rapidly increase in everything except disability support.
Have these staffing shortages been happening for some time, or is it a more recent phenomenon?
I guess it depends on your definition of recent, but yes, it's been happening for a few years now. And I also believe that it's probably a cyclical thing, and that doesn't mean that we should simply dismiss it outright, but we've had a problem. It's been far worse than it is today, where the whole country was really screaming for labour. We tried to look at attracting overseas workers for a wee while there, but frankly, Immigration New Zealand make that almost impossible. So we've struggled through with creative rostering and in some cases restricting the services that disabled people receive reluctantly. Now we're at a stage where some services are reporting that they're finding staff, that they're fully staffed and things are coming along okay, but other regions continue to really struggle and find it very, very difficult to recruit staff.
Are care workers switching to other careers, or are we seeing an exodus of care workers heading overseas like workers in many other sectors?
Not so much overseas. We are seeing people leave the sector for other local jobs that are better paid. I mean, frankly, as a new worker in disability support, you'll earn more money flipping burgers at McDonald's. That sort of thing needs to change, as I mentioned. So people tend to leave the sector either because their own health deteriorates and they can't work any further. There's a lot of care and support workers in our sector who themselves live with disabilities in one form or another, or they're finding other jobs within the sector. Not many of them, to my experience, are leaving the sector in order to travel overseas. Although at the moment, with the statistics around how many people are taking off to Australia, that may have changed somewhat.
Next, how are disabled people in Aotearoa currently being impacted by these shortages?
Disabled people are continually being frustrated by the occasional unavailability of care and support staff to meet their needs. That's disruptive. We'd like to think that no disabled person goes without but it can be disruptive when you're wanting to form a regular relationship with a care and support worker and that worker is changing every week. So that level of disruption can be quite unnerving for disabled people who themselves feel vulnerable because they're reliant on essentially a stranger to help them out. So the extent to which that is happening around the country is still much, much higher than we would like to see.
Is understaffing in the sector also leading to the mistreatment of disabled people in care?
I don't believe there's a connection between the two. The issue around abuse in care, and we'll find out more about that tomorrow with the release of the Royal Commission's many thousand page report, is both a historic phenomenon but also a current phenomenon that's not so much a reflection of the turnover of staff as it is issues around the availability of training and supervision, but also the pay rates mean that we're attracting people who are prepared to do what can be quite a challenging role in quite difficult circumstances. So the stress levels that occur in our sector are really quite high. So there's a number of factors that I think contribute to that picture. And we need as a sector to work on those factors and ensure that they are minimised to the greatest extent possible.
Are there any policies enacted by our government that could be exacerbating staffing issues in the care sector?
I think the first thing I'd say to that is that we've missed a golden opportunity. As I mentioned, I mean, we have our own destiny in our hands as a sector, so we need to be doing more ourselves within the limited powers that we have, given that we're reliant on government funding. But we've been through a period of time when there's so-called record unemployment, which means that those people who are looking for work are looking for opportunities. With the right sort of pay rate, the government could have initiated a major recruitment strategy for the disability support sector. They didn't, and that's a missed opportunity. We're now entering into a period where unemployment levels are increasing. So the focus of government agencies like Work and Income will be on the able-bodied unemployed person rather than the more challenging disabled person. And that's unfortunate. The second thing is we've got a number of pay equity claims in place for care and support workers. That was all supposed to be wrapped up within 12 months, and we're now over 2 years and still no end in sight. And most of that delay really sits at the feet of the government agencies that are involved in negotiating that process. So there are some frustrations that we experience, and it's what happens, I guess, when the relationship isn't purely between the employers and their staff. Now, those employers are totally reliant on government funding in order to keep their doors open. So that makes the situation quite complex.
Finally, can you tell us about the Health and Disability Commissioner's calls to the government?
The Health and Disability Commissioner, as I understand it, through their recent report, saying that there needs to be a greater emphasis on keeping people safe and ensuring that the workers and the providers of support services are more attuned to the complaints and expressions of dissatisfaction from disabled people receiving support. And we would agree with that. We think that it is important that providers have the right sort of policies in place to welcome complaints to improve their services. I think everybody in our sector wants to ensure that the service they provided yesterday, or tomorrow rather, is better than what they provided yesterday, even if what they thought was yesterday was pretty good. So that sort of recommendation we think is useful and important, and we're certainly encouraging of our members to embrace that. To some extent, we need guidance and we need resourcing from government in order to make those things happen. I'm expecting the same sort of recommendation coming from the Abuse in Care report, which is due out tomorrow. So that's likely to point to historic abuse in New Zealand for people particularly in residential support services, but it will also point, I suspect, to a number of those abuse findings continuing today. So that's the sort of thing that we should have a zero tolerance for. So that's about ensuring that disabled people have choice and have control in the support that they receive, but also that services are embracing the idea of good customer service practices, that their staff are trained and aware of what constitutes good customer service and have the support in place if they're feeling pressured or stressed. They know they can reach out and get someone else to help support them with what might be a more challenging situation. So all of those factors are works in progress that we need to get on with. So we'll wait and see what the report tomorrow says, but I imagine that the HDC report will be seen in that light.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.